Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When he played, he did not have a depo.
FP?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, right? No. He didn't have a depo.
No.
I mean, he could throw.
Sure.
He could do a thing or two.
He's a big leaguer.
Yeah.
I mean, I will never scoff at that.
Top five rookie of the year, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think top five.
I think he was third. I think he thinks he should have won it.
We did this when he was in, when you were out
one
day.
What was the final analysis on that? FP Santangelo, rookie of the year. I think he was third. Is that right? Did I get it right? Oh, he finished fourth. Damn.
Somebody really good won it, I think.
Well, rookie of the year is usually good.
Not always. Yeah. I mean, somebody who went on to be very good is the point.
1996 MLB rookie of the year. Derek Jeter.
Good little player. There you have it.
So maybe FP thought he should have finished second.
Okay.
I don't know. But anyway. There you go. And may John Sterling have a wonderful, wonderful retirement. We need to.
Ow!
Yeah.
Ow! Ow!
He was never the same after that, was he?
No.
No. I hope everything's okay with John. He's like done as of last week, right? And like immediately.
It's yeah.
Just a walk off right in the middle of the season.
God!
Yeah. There.
Yeah. Which is not a good sign.
I know it's
and
not.
And it was, you know, for health reasons.
I know it's not. No, I hope hope everything with John is really, really good.
Todd Hollinsworth, by the way, won Rookie of the Year in the National League, which FP played in. Jeter was in the American League.
Oh, you're right. I looked at the wrong one.
Followed American by Giant finished second, Edgar Renteria.
Oh, well, then he's right. He should have won.
Jason Kendall third. And
Todd
then
Hollinsworth. What the hell is he doing now?
FP got a first place vote.
Good.
Yeah.
Todd Hollinsworth.
He's a Dodger.
He used to give it to the Dodgers every year.
He hit 291 with 12 bombs and 59 ribbies.
Whatever.
Right.
Ball was juiced. 888-957-9570. All right. Tim Kawakami is going to join us here in just about 7 minutes.
All right.
Okay? And this to me is an important one because Tim is locked in and dialed in. And he gets the stuff now, okay, on the TK pod. And so we got to figure out a way to go multiple directions here because I really want to know where the Niners sit on this Ayuk thing and the larger question of if they sign him, where do they go next? Like, who's really in danger of not being on this team long term? But we've also got to get to the Dubs with him now.
He had Steve Kerr on.
Yes, he sure did.
On the pod.
Right.
OTP on the pod.
So we'll know what they said on the pod, but I wonder what he said off the pod.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because those conversations leading up to when they turn the mics on, sometimes that's where the good stuff is.
And Tim has a great balance of being, I don't want to say friends with these guys, but he knows them so well. He's there so often that they feel comfortable with Tim. And so in his interviews, he gets good, frank responses.
Yeah, well, he's done the work. He's done the work to be in that spot. So I really wonder if this offseason is not likely destined to be less active than we think it's going to be. Because I think the Warriors are fully prepared to make very big moves, but it is a better than 50-50 proposition that those moves are not available to them. And so I do think that's a question for each Warrior fan to answer. In the absence of the big deal that really makes you feel good, do you want some smaller deals just because? Like, I sort of gather from you, you kind of just want Wiggins off the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're like Harrison Ford in Air Force One. Get off my plane.
Basically.
Like, you just want it, and you don't even care what you get back.
It'd be nice to get a player back who can actually play and who will show up and somebody who you can really rely on. But the whole idea of waiting for Andrew and hoping that the Andrew you got one night is the Andrew you're going to get again, and then you don't get that Andrew again for a week and a half, and then he flashes with one of those classic 24-8 games. It's like, that's the – why can't we have that Andrew every night?
Yeah.
You don't get to have that Andrew every night. And so for me, three more years of that, I'm good. I'd rather have him go, and I think that Moses Moody's another player that will be traded, and I heard – I don't know if it was Dunleavy or Kerr, but they all use the word opportunity. Moses needs to get his opportunities, and I don't know if he's going to get those opportunities here, because it feels like if Clay comes back and everybody else comes back, he's still the ninth man.
If Wiggins is gone, you know,
it's a little bit more opportunity.
If Wiggins is dealt on his own, I think that that opportunity is there. Plus, as I've said, you can have these guys back, but you know, the roles should be lessened. And so 5 minutes from that guy and 5 minutes from that guy and add that to Moses' 10, and the next thing you know, you got 20 or 23 or whatever. Like, I just think it could go a bunch of ways, because the Warriors, if they're in the absence of having a big deal that they feel like really makes them better, do you want to make other deals just for the sake of making deals, or is there a run-it-back nature, possibly at least, where you're not saying, hey, we think we can win a championship, but you can remain viable? Like, they were a viable team this year. The way it landed at the 10 seed, it makes you feel terrible, but 46 wins usually gets you something better than the 10 seed. And I know everyone's already decided it's going to be the same in the Western Conference next year, and it might, but it might not. You know what I mean? Like, I keep reminding everybody that. The Warriors were very disappointing, but they're not like an awful basketball team.
Right.
As currently constructed.
I'll allow for that to be factual, but you also have to look at the rest of the West and realize that a lot of those teams that were around you are also going to be better. And, you know, Houston is a team that played a lot better than most teams down the stretch of the season, and they're going to be better. So I don't think the West gets less competitive.
What are the 49ers actually thinking with 26, 25 hours to go? What are the possibilities for the Warriors this offseason? And what are the chances for Clay to be on the team next year? Nobody better to answer those questions than Tim Kawakami of The Athletic, and he joins us next on Willard and Dibs.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The two times that we missed the playoffs a few years ago almost felt like we weren't missing out on anything. This year, there's a terrible feeling of, man, we're missing out. Playoffs are so fun. The energy in every arena is so incredible. To not be there really hurts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, that's Mr. Steve Kerr, and he said that on the TK pod. TK stands for Tim Kawakami. You can find the TK pod linked on our YouTube page, part of the Odyssey family. It always has tremendous conversations, and we hope another one of those conversations happens right now. Hello, TK.
How you doing, Mark? How you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. What's cooking? What stood out with the conversation with Steve Kerr?
You know, we do this at the end of every year. I just get a feel for where he's at, where the team's at, and I think a couple of conversations I had, and also he was, you know, really thoughtful end of season presser he had, a couple of days after the end of season. So I think you have a franchise that's kind of like, okay, we're in this weird point in time, kind of transitioning from the great years to whatever comes next. You know, they're not there yet, you know, end of an era, but they're ending the era and kind of thinking about how they do this. They still have Steph Curry. He's still great. How do they, you know, maximize what they've got out of this? What roster do they have to put together? What is it going to cost? Who fits right? Who maybe doesn't fit? And I think they're just going through that, but have kind of come to terms with the fact that they're not a championship team. But, that, you know, 27-12 to finish the regular season, as we talked about with, you know, I talked about with Steve, and he brought up, doesn't mean that they're that team because they had the bad first part of the season, 19-24. But there's still elements there. It's, you know, it's not blow it up time, but it's certainly not, you know, the absolute, you know, power time for this franchise. They're just kind of going through that transition. And I think the tone of the conversation I had with Kerr yesterday and the tone of the entire phrase is like getting to feel that, you know, making the best of what they've got, not making it worse, and then seeing what happens next. Now, Joe Lacob might not have the same tone. That's the guy who doesn't think generally like that. He's apparently not talking to the media for a while. I understand he's got some things they've got to figure out. But I think from Kerr and maybe, you know, Dunleavy's a little more like, let's just get better, let's get better, let's get better. But I think Kerr, Curry, Draymond, Clay, if Clay resigns, which I would think he's going to do, but obviously it's an open question. It's more like, how do we end this right? How do we put the pieces together to end this right, whatever that means?
And it might just mean that you end it with the big three intact and you don't threaten a championship again, and or you might want to trade some pieces and try to run it back with different players to support the big three. What do you think Joe Lacob's priority is going to be? Because the business of having the three guys all together certainly helps to attract more fans and helps the bottom line, even if you aren't as successful a team.
Well, I mean, they're not trading Steph, and they probably can't get a lot if they try to trade Draymond, so they're not trading him. And Clay's a free agent. So they're really, you know, the idea of trading these guys is probably not where they're at. It's how much are you going to pay Clay to bring him back? And we'll, you know, we'll see what that market is. We'll see where the Warriors are. We'll see where Clay's head is at. You know, it's going to be in a different role. I think Kerr has been very clear about that. It's going to be coming off the bench probably. Again, you know, things change. You never know. But I think it's kind of the reduction in where they put Clay on the pecking order, and how can they get someone who's above Clay in the pecking order? How can they get that number two scorer? How can they get somebody who, you know, when Steph is got three guys on him, can go for 35? They don't really have that. Obviously, it's a tough thing to get. But I think that's where Lacob is. You know, they've always got ideas. They've always got things that they're going to try to do. You know, can you turn Andrew Wiggins into anything? I don't know about that. Can you expect Kuminga to turn into a 2B, a 2C, if he's not a clear 2? We shall see. The way the roster is put together, it doesn't really fit because, you know, Trayce Jackson-Davis played really well at center, really good defensive center, good lob threat. You got Draymond at the 4, but then you can't really put Kuminga at the 3 unless he's making 3s, and he's not there. They've got some ill-fitting pieces. I don't know exactly how they bundle up this and this and put together to get that. Meanwhile, you know, they're going to drop way below $400 million payroll commitment. You just can't have a record payroll commitment for a team that didn't make the playoffs. I mean, any fan, I think, can understand that. I don't think they're going to get way, way cheap, but they're going to get lower. how do they fit all that? I mean, I think they have ideas. I think there's ways that you could kind of see that they could get better. Can they get to a championship? That seems far-fetched. But can you just be better? Can you take a roll of the dice and give you one more, you know, playoff trip for Steph? One, you know, a couple significant rounds. I think that's realistically where they're at.
TK, what is the likelihood, just spotlight one player, what's the likelihood of a Wiggins deal?
I mean, you know, that I think mainly that would be just to get rid of the contract, which I see some value in. I don't know that they can really trade him for a good player. Now, you know, Wiggins plus two picks plus Kuminga, then maybe you're talking. Just hard because he does give them that defense. They need it. So you're, you know, to think of him as a negative value, which you kind of have to do with that contract, it's tough. I'd say 50-50. You know, I think there were people in the organization who were down on him this season. I mean, you could understand why he played terrible to start, played a little bit better, and then wasn't so great at the end. Certainly wasn't somebody they could count on in that Kings game, right? I mean, I wasn't a guy who was going to score you 25. I wasn't even going to score you 15. So I'd say 50-50, just determine, you know, is somebody out there really want Kuminga and you tag your Wiggins to it and a couple picks, can you get something very interesting? We'll see. I mean, you would have to use that contract to get a high-paid player. My buddy Marcus Thompson is throwing out Zach LaVine, and he's $45 million. For the Warriors to acquire somebody who's making $45 million, it would have to include Andrew Wiggins, possibly Chris Paul, I guess, but I don't know why the Bulls would want to guarantee that salary. So I'd say it's Wiggins. In that way, as a vehicle, that's the way I could see them trying to use him. So that's why I put it 50-50, maybe a little less. That he's traded, I would say more likely than not he's back, but I don't say that's, you know, anything could happen when you're trying to put salaries together to try to get better. But he's definitely in flux, definitely in flux.
Tim Kawakami with us, Willard and Dibs. I was going to let it go once, but you said it twice. You have referenced potentially Jonathan Kuminga leaving in a trade, and so need to ask what you think the likelihood of that is.
Let's think, you know, listen, the owner loves him. So, I mean, it's always harder to start with that. You know, I don't think they want to trade Kuminga. I think they think a lot of him, and there's a lot to think of him. Just saying, if you're going to get something good, you have to give up something good. You can't just go, let's give up all of our crappy players, and you give us our really good player. You know, there's something of value that has to be moved, and their major piece of value is Jonathan Kuminga, who isn't a starter at this point. You know, can that pry loose something interesting? I've thrown out Jared Allen's name. I don't think he's available at this point, but let's just use him as an example. If you're going to get Jared Allen, what are you going to trade for him? They're not going to give him straight up for Andrew Wiggins. They're not going to do a package of a bunch of guys who never play. It's going to have to be somebody really good, and Jonathan Kuminga's got some real value around this league. We'll see. That, you know, maybe they could have got him if, you know, they could have gotten Pascal Siakam if they put Kuminga in that package. I understood not putting him in the package. The re-sign Pascal Siakam is going to cost Indiana a ton of money. But that's how you get in these conversations. You have to put something of value in the middle of the pot in order to try to get something good. And if you're going to look around on the Warriors roster for something that's good, it's Jonathan Kuminga. I would be very leery of trading him. I like his game a lot. That doesn't mean he's a surefire lock to be on this team next season. I'm not sure how he 100% fits with everything.
And he obviously would be a centerpiece if they went big game hunting. What do you think the likelihood is that the Warriors go out there and maybe try to pry one of these stars from a team that gets knocked out early in the playoffs, some of these, you know, $45 or $50 million stars? Do the Warriors have the ability to go out there and big game hunt?
I mean, they're going to try. They always try. I don't know how possible it is, how plausible it is. And again, it's going to have to be leading with Kuminga. It's going to have to be Wiggins' salary. Or if you can get somebody to buy in on Chris Paul's salary, I just don't think they will. I think the Warriors are probably going to have to just not, you know, waive him. The contract's not guaranteed. I don't think that's really in play. There was a reason why they tried to make the move at the trade deadlines, because that's when they could have used Chris Paul and Klay Thompson's expiring contracts. They are expired now, or if Chris Paul is not expired, if you guarantee the money, but they're not going to guarantee it. There's no way. So it's harder now, and it's Wiggins now, and it's Wiggins plus Kuminga. And what does that get you? I don't know. It's what they're going to look at. It's, you know, they're certainly going to put pieces on the table and see where everything fits. I just don't know what that great piece is. DeMar DeRozan, he's a free agent. Like, you know, you can think of names, but It's not like they can just go sign anybody. They're going to be way, you know, they're not going to be, no matter how much they cut, if it's Clay and Chris Paul, they're not going to get far enough to sign a major free agent. So, yeah, there's somebody in love with John Kuminga, then let's see where that can get them. But it would have to put, they'd almost certainly have to put Wiggins in that deal too. Does that make it worse? These are questions that they don't know the answers to. I don't know the answers to. They're going to try, though. You know, you have to try. The Jordan Poole trade came out of nowhere. That was Mike Dunleavy, you know, a little under the radar. I think he's pretty good at that. So, you know, I imagine they've got two or three names they're very interested in. We'll see where it is. You're right, though. And I would look at some of these blown-out teams in the first round where it doesn't look good, it doesn't feel good. And you go, you know, would that player work? You know, I think you can look at that and say maybe then they would, another team would go, God, John Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins would be pretty interesting for us right now. I just don't know who that is. You know, there's names out there. You can look at the teams that are down 2-0 in the first round, not looking great. I just don't know that that's where this is going to end up. I just think the Warriors are going to make those calls.
Check out the TK Pod. Tim Kawakami is with us here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Okay, two parts. The first one is very quick. A, do you think Brandon Ayuk is on the team when we go to bed tomorrow night?
I would guess he is, but I, like everyone else, including the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk, you don't know. I've been told it's up in the air, and I'm not going to make a guess. I think it's likelier than it's hard to put these trades together. There's a lot of complications with this one that the team would have to, you know, they'd have to get an offer they like from a team that is willing to pay Brandon Ayuk. That's a lot. There's many levels to this. I think they came pretty close to trading Deebo 2 years ago and they didn't. In fact, I would say they probably were more willing to trade Deebo Samuel 2 years ago after a monster season. You know, one of Kyle Shanahan's favorite players than they are now with Ayuk. Although, the more you listen, the more you, okay, maybe they are pretty close.
Huh.
Or at least willing to talk on Ayuk. I think they're far apart in negotiations. I think, you know, I'll just put it this way. The 49ers are positioning themselves around the league that they could trade Ayuk. Maybe that's the way to get the best trade offer. Maybe you put a scare in Ayuk. I don't know. That's how they're positioning it in the way I've heard. And I think Ayuk's camp is positioning, like, yeah, fine, trade us. We're going to go somewhere that will pay us. We just want to get what's right. Both sides, maybe it's a stare down. Maybe it's a game of chicken. But you know what? Games of chicken sometimes end up in crashes. So I'm going to wait. It's going to be very dramatic. I guess there's a potential they could even do it the next day for a second-round pick. I think that would be silly. I think Brandon Ayuk, if you're going to trade him, you got to get a really good first-round pick and get a receiver that you know can plug right in there, because if they trade him for a second-round pick, boy, I think they really take a step backwards in this quest to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, I'd say that he's still on the team tomorrow and the next day, but, man, that's a guess, and I don't think John Lynch could tell you for sure. I really don't. I don't think they know. They're going to wait to see what the offers are, going to see what receivers on the board when that pick they're offered comes to them. They're going to see how they feel about Ayuk. This is dramatic. This is really dramatic stuff for a team that has not really had dramatic first rounds in a while. This
right.
one's a big one.
So, and then, is this the correct premise with which to move forward? If Brandon stays and is re-signed, then do you buy the idea that by the end of next year or next March, some very large name is going to have to move on? Like, we've got a poll question that we've been throwing out to our listeners. Which option would you take? And that is trade Ayuk, move on from Deebo next March, move on from Kittle next March, or play chicken with Brock Purdy's future deal. I mean, which one do you think is most likely? And, do you buy that one of those has got to happen?
Yeah, I think a couple of them might happen, actually. But we'll see. You know, we saw with Armstead, like, this is not a team that is shy about moving into some, you know, move out some very popular players who did a lot for this team. I think it's set up for Deebo Samuel's contract to be moved off after this season. I just think that's the way the contract was played out. It's like that's where they have this out. It's not this year. It's next year. Ayuk would not be getting a new contract starting till next season anyway, very likely. You don't really tear up that last season if you do the extension. they haven't with other players. So his number is not going up huge. In fact, it'll go down because it's $14 million this season. The number will probably go down to start the cap hits and then expand, you know, by a lot in later years. I think it's Debo. I mean, I think Christian McCaffrey is, you'd love to have them both. But I think in some ways having them both is a luxury. If you're going to pay them, you know, $35 million, you might as well just pay Christian McCaffrey 15 and try to get what Debo does in other ways. Potentially, I've written this, a potential declining player. This is kind of was the issue that they had with him 2 years ago. It was like they just didn't see how he was going to be a $27 million player in 3 years. Well, he's probably not going to be. And they have their way out of it. So for pure math, you could say if they give the money to Ayuk, it's probably not going to go to Debo. But that's not limited to just the one player, you know. We saw it with Armstead. We might see it with several other players. They have outs for these long-term deals. That's why players fight for the guaranteed money. And when the time comes, when the guaranteed money doesn't hit the 49ers as hard, you start seeing some players going. I would not get into a staring contest with the quarterback. If you love the quarterback, you do not want him feeling bad about the situation. It's just a special position in the league. I just don't – again, but I keep saying this, it's boring. Any Purdy long-term deal, the cap hits aren't really going to hit hard till 2026. So they've got some wiggle room on that. They're not, you know, it's going to be announced as this, you know, if it happens next year, probably will 5 years, you know, $250 million deal. It is not costing them that. It is not. There are going to be fake years, fake money.
Right.
Early cap hits are going to be low. So don't think they have to account for that right away. They do not. They do not have to account for it probably until 2026, maybe even later. So it doesn't all have to come at once. It doesn't. These things are kind of staggered. The one that I think is very, very one-for-one might be Ayuk and Debo. And I just think Ayuk is the player that is more likely to be good in 3 years than Debo, or at least be very valuable. I just see that happening. It won't, again, not now. The cap hit to move off of Debo would be too much. But in a year, I think everybody in the situation understood that when he signed that deal, because they can get out of it in a year.
And I think Ayuk also thinks that he is more valuable to the Niners than Debo is, which is why they're probably far apart, because Brandon Ayuk wants a bigger piece of the pie than the 49ers seemingly want to give him. So outside of the Brandon Ayuk question, when you look at this team, Tim, going into tomorrow and Friday and the rest of the draft, what position do you look at that they need to upgrade immediately in the draft?
I've been saying tackle. I think a lot of people have been saying tackle. You get a right tackle that you like, and maybe in a year or two he can move the left tackle, because, man, I mean, they replaced Trent Williams, so that is going to be a major deal. They don't seem to be there. They seem to be, like, you know, like maybe at 31, they just don't feel that's a spot, and they don't want to give up what it would cost to move up to, say, 20 to take, you know, one of the guys that seems to be, you know, the fifth or the fourth rated tackle in a very deep draft. I would do it if I was them. I feel like you go up and you get aggressive and you spotlight the guys you like. And if it costs you a little bit more than you like, too bad. You get the guy you like at a position you need. I don't think they're going to do it. And now, back of my mind, I'm thinking maybe they got some kind of veteran. Like, you know, there are veteran tackles that have played in their similar systems that they know. And rookies, you never know, right? So I can see them like, you know what, if we're going to put this guy right in there, we're going to know he can play right tackle for us. And maybe there's somebody available for a third-round pick, for a fourth-round pick. Maybe that's how you use your extra picks rather than jumping up in the first round. I could see that. I would want a young stud, though. I just think you get the great tackles in the first round. I just think you do. And they're going to need two, because one's going to play right tackle, and in a year or two, one's going to play left. You need somebody to play left tackle. And it's very, very expensive when you start trying to search for a left tackle. There are not many of them in the draft every year. So I'd go tackle. I don't think they're going to. I think it feels like they're going to go tackle in the second round maybe. And it could be cornerback, could be defensive lineman. It's a 49er tradition, right? If there's a first round, right. If there's an early pick, they're taking a defensive lineman. They've done it like four times in 7 years, and maybe it'll be 5 and 8. I understand it. It's a very valuable position. Get another guy to go sack the quarterback. Get a guy in the middle. They are a little thin. They've lost a lot of talent there. Javon Kinlaw, Eric Armstead, Cleveland Furl, Chase Young. I mean, they have an exodus. They like to have a bunch of first-round talents on the defensive line. I could see them doing that. It would be not the sexiest thing in the world, given all the other things we're talking about. But if that's the way this falls and they stay true to their board, maybe that's what it is, and they get your tackle somewhere else. I would go get the tackle. I would sacrifice a third-round pick to try to move up, you know, maybe something else, and go get the guy you really want at 20 or 19. Or maybe they're projecting that they can't even do that. It doesn't feel like they're even interested in that, though. Just they haven't been around these tackles. You'd think they'd want to have Chris Foerster, the offensive line coach, like put his hands on some guys to see, you know, does this guy really fit with what we like? Haven't really done that. Makes me feel like they're going to go in another direction there.
TK, great stuff. Hey, if you were going to put next week's salary, got to make you do it now, next week's salary on a player who still plays in the Bay Area this fall, Brandon Ayuk, Clay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins.
I'm not making that bet.
Oh, I think come on!
All up in the air. Yeah,
wow. All right.
I'll say Clay.
There
you guys can do that for me. I make a lot of money, though, so I don't like betting that.
Yeah! You know,
like, maybe I'll bet one of your guys' salaries. I don't know, man, if I'll bet one of mine.
Hey, I make a medium amount of money. You just stand down. All right, Tim. Good stuff, man. Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
There goes Tim Kawakami. That was an amazing answer.
Yeah, Clay. I'll take over
Clay.
Ayuk.
I'll take Clay, and I make a lot of money.
It's a flex, but you know, don't get Steve Kerr on your pod unless you're a big boy. You know.
Yeah. Good for you, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep on doing it.
He didn't need to take a shot at our salaries on the way out the door. I feel fine about my salary.
Shoot your shot. It's all you got. It's what we always say, you know.
Very proud of our work.
Yeah. Cash me out one time.
95.7 The Game. Ooh, sheesh. All right. I didn't think it was going to go that way. We're presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. How's that grab, everybody? That someone in the know thinks it's more likely that Clay Thompson is here this fall than Brandon Ayuk. I could tell you what I think. Ugh.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that to come out wrong. Big Clay Thompson fan over here. But right. If you're asking me about the importance to the future of any of these franchises, I find Brandon Ayuk's future to be so much more important to winning than Clay Thompson's or Andrew Wiggins.
Well, that team is closer to being a winning team. But I thought it was interesting the way he portrayed the likelihood of him being traded, because it's not quite a 50-50 proposition, but I think it's more up in the air. And Tim was just kind of walking his way through his own thoughts in the answer. It's much more of an up-in-the-air question than maybe other people want to think.
He said this is going to be dramatic.
Right.
There were two nuggets, though, in talking about Brandon that were actually about Debo that we want to revisit. And then we will take your calls and circle back to where we've been most of the day. 888-957-9570. Our poll question. You got to do one. Trade Ayuk, move on from Debo next year, move on from Kittle next year, or play chicken with Brock Purdy's deal. We'll take your calls next. This is Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, let's gather as a group here and discuss this with all of our friends who listen in.
Hello, friends.
Yeah, what's the plan tomorrow? So Larry coming on? Larry coming on, and is he coming in?
He is not coming in. He will be on Zoom with us from 3 to 4.
From 3 to 4, okay. And then the 5 o'clock hour, when there's actually picks, are we going to play the little thingamabob? Yeah.
You don't want me to do my version again?
Yeah, do it. Yeah, no.
It's getting better, huh?
It's better.
Better.
Still awful.
Yeah.
And
I'm a low bar there.
Yeah, yeah. So
I listened back. I thought it was actually pretty good.
Yeah. I listened back.
I'm glad. How do you spell Canon again?
Canyon.
Perfect.
Canyon.
And so
Coco Canyon.
Yeah, so we'll be all over this. And I bet we go to bed and not only Brandon Ayuk is still a 49er, I bet nobody knew is a 49er.
Because we're going to bed that early? Or are they trading out of the pick?
Yeah, I think they're trading
you
out.
You think they're trading back?
I think they're trading back.
I think if they're going to trade, they're trading up. I don't think
they'd
trade
back. Why would they do that?
To get a better player.
Well,
but, duh.
Right, but...
Like Tim just said, TK, if there's a player that they like
yeah.
further up the board... Then you get aggressive and you use another pick and you trade 31.
Or you stockpile more picks.
See, I
get
think
more cheap labor.
They're not in a spot where they need more players. They need better players. But their roster is not one that is in need of 10 new players. And a lot of these guys they draft aren't going to make the team. You have guys from last year's draft that didn't get a chance to make the team. And those are players that you're now going to look to elevate as second-year guys. Your roster doesn't have a lot of holes. There's spots where you need upgrades,
yeah,
but you don't have a lot of spots where...
No, but I'd argue this is a huge draft because if you're this kind of a team, fewer of your picks are... You're right. Like, because of what you're saying, you're not picking guys to come in and have a starting role right away. You're picking guys to start replacing people 2 and 3 years from now. And you got to get those guys right. Like, in other words, like, let's talk about wide receivers for a second. So, let's say you don't trade Brandon Ayuk, and you are going to end up keeping him. But you do acknowledge what I've said, what you've said, what Tim Kawakami literally just said, that it's probably Debo. It's probably Debo, and it's probably after the year. All right, well, then you need to grab that guy now. You need to grab that replacement now. I'd much rather have him have a year in the system. He'll probably get his feet wet. You work with him for a year, and then when you really need him to have a big role, he's a second-year player, not a rookie. I love that a lot more. That's what I would do. I'm not saying the Niners shouldn't draft a receiver or two.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I don't want whoever they draft to be a featured player in September. It's too soon.
It could be, or it could be a guy who comes in and immediately pops and you don't miss Brandon Ayuk at all because you traded Brandon Ayuk and you got additional draft capital, or you're able to move up in the first round, or whatever you did with Brandon Ayuk, you were able to get a player to come in here who turned out to be a good receiver right away. It's not totally out of the question, and as you say, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to have a rookie come in and make an impact. And
it's within the rules.
It is. And I look at your receiver depth chart as it is now, and there's a guy you took 2 years ago in the third round, and you'd like to find out if he's really any good. And if he's not, then maybe you do draft somebody to take his place.
You're not talking about Danny Gray.
What are we doing with Danny Gray?
Nothing.
Then they'd cut him if they thought that there was nothing they'd do.
No, because he's a depth piece. He's not a, like... Danny Gray has...
He's a depth piece.
Yeah, so that's... And that's what he's going to be. He's not going to be a featured receiver.
He's not going to be a featured receiver, but maybe you get him more time and you give him some actual looks. You drafted Ronnie Bell last year in the 7th round,
yeah,
and he's a guy. You got Chris Conley. You've got a lot of receivers who are on your team.
Right.
It's a fact.
What do you like about the receivers? Well, they're on the team.
They got uniforms.
So that's exciting. Helmets and everything. Numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Contracts. Sweet. Yeah.
You look across their roster, though, and you have a lot of depth at a lot of positions. So for me, it's not about stockpiling more picks. Maybe you can get picks for next year. For me, I'd be more interested in trading up and, you know, taking some of these picks that you already have and combining them and move up, and that way you get a better player.
Yeah, but again, I mean, it's got to be – that's more complex than you're making it sound, I think, because – number one, again, with any pick, you don't know what you're getting. And number two, that's all based on their grades. Like, I thought it was really interesting yesterday when John Lynch said, we got 22 guys with first-round grades.
With the gold helmet designation.
Yeah, 22 guys. Okay, so, all right, you're the 31st pick. You get to the 27th pick, and you're like, there's only one of them left. And we really, really want him. It's good. That's our plan. Then, yeah, sure. Do something, give up a fifth rounder and move up four spots and grab your guy. But you're not going to bend over backwards. They're not going to move up far, I don't think. I mean, sure, maybe there's an Ayuk situation that pops up. But I think equally as likely that those 22 first-round grades, maybe they're gone, and you're sitting there at number 31, and you're like, we got a bunch of dudes who we still really like, but we think they're going to be available in another 15 picks or 20 picks or whatever. So let's move back a little bit. Let's move back. I mean, that to me is always a power position, what you're describing, which is that the 49ers aren't freaking out for any particular need. I might argue that at offensive tackle they are, but they're not. It's not like, oh my God, we don't need a quarterback. You don't need a starting running back, all of these things. That's a powerful position to move back if you get to a certain slot in the draft and you're like, this is not going to hurt us to move down a few picks and we can stockpile another player or two in the process.
Yeah, and that is a thought, because being at 31 is actually a coveted spot for any team behind you who wants a quarterback. Because as you mentioned, if you draft any player in the first round, you get 4 years and you get that fifth-year option. So if one of these quarterbacks, if it's Penix who falls toward the end of the first round, a team with their eye on moving up to get the quarterback and to get that first-round control, then 31 becomes a coveted spot for a team that maybe is sitting at 38 or 39. So if the Niners don't have any player that they absolutely love still available, yeah, then you can go ahead and move back. Maybe you pick up a third next year. You move back eight spots and you get a third for next year or something, and then you are able to stockpile picks for the future.
Before we go to the phones, did you also catch what Tim said about Deebo Samuel 2 years ago? Said that he thinks that the 49ers were more open to dealing Deebo 2 years ago.
Before the contract.
Than they were Brandon now. Like, that was super interesting. Here it is, Tim Kawakami, right here with us on Willard and Dibs.
They came pretty close to trading Deebo 2 years ago, and they didn't. In fact, I would say they probably were more willing to trade Deebo Samuel 2 years ago after a monster season, you know, one of Kyle Shanahan's favorite players, than they are now with Ayuk. Although, the more you listen, the more you, okay, maybe they are pretty close, or at least willing to talk on Ayuk.
Sorry that I made a big noise in the middle of your soundbite there, Grandy. My bad. But it was interesting. Huh. Really?
Yeah.
Because the way they spoke, remember we even played it the other day, John Lynch was, I can't imagine not wanting this guy on the team. Yet, they came closer to and were more open to trading Deebo then than they are Brandon now. I think that speaks volumes about how they feel about Ayuk. And I don't know, man, that's the way I live my life. You feel like that about something or someone, don't you dare let that thing go. Don't let it go.
You're dating an eight, but you have your eyes on a nine. You trade that eight. You go for that nine.
He ain't no eight. He's not an eight.
Ayuk?
That's not an eight.
7.5.
Get out of here. You'd be crazy.
With a good personality and a nice smile.
He seems like he does have
a good personality. He does seem like a great guy. And I'll give you this, the intangible part of it, the growth he's shown, the locker room presence, the person he is. We talked already about his draft class with Henry Ruggs, and you know, I'm not making light of the mistake he made, but that is something that, you know, you obviously can't even fathom with one of your players.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, Brandon Ayuk's not out there in the streets, and you know, Henry Ruggs was involved in an alcohol-related vehicular manslaughter, and now he's in prison.
Correct.
So, and you know, other players have been involved in other things, and you know, the Niners, I think, have done a good job of getting away from guys with questionable character.
And then
Reuben Foster's a guy they moved up to trade to draft. And,
yes.
And that was a problem.
And there's also then the much less dramatic, he did not very good, Jalen Reagor,
right,
and Jerry Jeudy, like, just not all that good. So these things can go 1,000 directions, but what you're talking about, the locker room presence, the head screwed on straight, the downfield blocking, the understanding of the scheme, the ability to put up 1,300 yards when you only threw the ball to him four times, all of that stuff, that all screams keep to me. Let's go to Larry and Lomita. Hey, Larry, you're on with Willard and Dibs. What are you doing? Oh, hang on a second, Larry, before you talk. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.